This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. All right, let's do a quick radio game here, shall we? I'm going to play you a sound. You tell me what it is. Here you go. That is a Rubik's Cube. Specifically, it's a Rubik's Cube being solved by a guy who actually knows how to do it. Ian Scheffler is his name. His new book about that oh-so-frustrating-for-me-anyway little toy is called Cracking the Cube. Ian, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me, Kai.
What was it about Rubik's Cube that got you hooked? Because this thing came out way before you were born, man.
Yeah, that's true. I was born in 1990, so by that time the cube was all but dead. But my fascination didn't start until I went to this really unusual summer camp. On the first day, I sat next to this kid, and he was doing something under the table with his hands, and it was making a weird clicking noise, and I didn't know what was going on. And then he pulled his hands out, and he'd solved a Rubik's Cube. And I found out years later he was actually the greatest Rubik's Cube solver on the planet.
Wow. We should get it out of the way early that for all of its, I don't want to say frivolous, right, because you guys are really serious about it, but for all of its gameness, for all the fact that it is, in essence, a game and a sport, there's actually like serious math and algorithms and scientific theory behind it, sort of.
The branch of mathematics that most closely relates to Rubik's Cube is called group theory, which most people would never encounter in their ordinary lives. But actually, everyone does this when you're just, say, getting a sandwich out of the fridge, because you're opening the fridge door, which could be the first operation. You're getting out your sandwich, which is the second operation, and then you are reversing the first operation by closing the door. And what that does, both in getting your sandwich out and in solving a Rubik's Cube, is it allows you to do something without destroying something that you want to preserve. For instance, you don't want to take a pickaxe to the fridge because you want to have a fridge afterward.
Right.
In the same way, if you already have part of the cube solved, but you want to work on another part, you might have to modify that part that is solved, but you want to make sure it goes back to being solved afterward.
Right, right. And that was the part that always got me. When I was watching my brother solve these things, he would do it, and I would say, but wait, you just wrecked the part? Yeah. And he's like, no, I'm going to fix it. And it got me. There is actually a World Cube Association. You guys have championships and stuff. Can you make a living cubing like you can playing, any of the video games out there?
Well, it's gotten to the point where there are actually sponsored cubers who get flown to competitions and they represent certain brands of puzzle. They like wear shirts that look like NASCAR jerseys.
Wow.
So it's ramping up, and it remains to be seen exactly where this is going to go. Is it going to turn into the spelling bee where everybody sort of tunes in once a year? Is it going to be like semi-professional? It remains to be seen.
A word here about Erno Rubik, the Hungarian guy who actually invented this thing. You met him.
Yeah, he's a bit like the Willy Wonka of Eastern Europe. He's extremely reclusive and really brilliant. He keeps very close track of all kinds of things going on in the world. I mean, the range of his influences spans from, Da Vinci to Isaac Asimov. He's very tuned into modern art. He's the scion of one of Hungary's greatest engineers and also a poet. So he's literally the union of art and science. It makes total sense that he would have invented this.
Huh. Did Mr. Rubik get rich off this cube? Did he make like a gazillion dollars?
Yeah. So, I mean, he's made a lot of money, enough to be comfortable, but he's an extremely modest man. I mean, I was told by one of his members of his inner circle that he easily could have bought probably half of the whole country of Hungary at the time the cube was popular. But that's not what he's about. He's very modest. And there's also the sort of piracy issue, because the Rubik's Cube is obviously fairly easy to imitate. And, there's been enough pirated cubes that no one even knows how many cubes there are.
You say at the end of this book that you believe anyway that the cube is coming back.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's really indisputable. You can also just look at sales figures and the commercial side of it, whether that means, its appearance in ad campaigns or movies. I mean, Logic, who's a rising star in the world of hip-hop, he's so into Rubik's Cubes that he has a track about it on his new album.
Ian Scheffler's book is called Cracking the Cube. Ian, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Kai.
There's an excerpt of Ian's book at our website. It is marketplace.org.